Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And we are getting towards the end of our week, just barely scratching the tiniest surface of this passage that we're going through in Revelation 21, because it's so deep. We could stay on it for hours past the time that we have. And that's why I want to encourage you, like all of the passages, this is supposed to just spur you on for your own study, for your own meditation, for your own time with the Lord. To just bring this before the Lord. This is just supposed to be the beginning. This is not a substitute for your own time in the Word. This is supposed to be an encourager to get you deeper into the Word of God, and especially this passage. As we sit with it, there's something that goes beyond our human understanding. There's something that goes, I can't grasp mentally with my intellect. I don't care how smart you are, what your ACT score is. You know, it's like, I can't grasp with my human intellect what this all means, but I know that as I sit with it and I invite the Holy Spirit, that there's this movement in my heart, that there's this thing moving in my heart, deepening, inviting me into a deeper place, into a deeper cry to see God and to belong to Him. Amen. So we're going to go ahead. I encourage you to listen to the beginning of this week. Again, I just want to mention right now going on, if you're listening to this in real time, is Pine Hills Girls Camp, which is a camp for middle school girls in Jackson, Michigan, put on by Renewal Ministries. And there's about a little over 200 middle school girls there encountering the person of Jesus and getting their lives changed for good. And so please continue to pray for them and for all the staff there. So let's dive into Psalm 53, and then we will go ahead and dive back into Revelation 21. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none that does good. God looks down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any that are wise, that seek after God. They have all fallen away. They are all alike depraved. There is none that does good, not one. Have those who work evil no understanding, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? There they are in great terror, in terror such as has not been. For God will scatter the bones of the ungodly. They will be put to shame, for God has rejected them. Oh, that the deliverance for Israel would come from Zion. When God restores the fortunes of his people, Jacob will rejoice and be glad. Lord, we know that this promise that you make, that deliverance will come from Zion, is fulfilled in your Son. As we read in the book of Revelation, that you will bring a new heaven and a new earth, that you will come and you will dwell with your people, that even now you would make our hearts a dwelling place, that we would host your presence, so that we would look forward to the day and to the fulfilled promise in which you will make your full dwelling place with man. We thank you, Lord, that you are just and righteous, and in your justice and righteousness, you are perfectly good. You are perfectly holy. We thank you, Lord, that you do execute judgment on the peoples, on the nations. Because of that, you are trustworthy, and we can trust you and we can find refuge in you. And we ask all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and read Revelation 21. If you're with us yesterday, we talked about this amazing, mind-blowing reality that God wants to dwell with us. And God is about to promise some other things that he'll do, other parts of this promise. But again, as we said, we see in the Old Testament this echoed over and over and over again. I will be with you. You will be my people and I will be your God. I will dwell with you. I will dwell with you. It's a promise he's been making since we exited the garden. I will be with you. And so the way this passage is structured is he's showing John, first and foremost, a relational reality. He's saying this is what will happen between God and man. This is first and foremost what will happen. I'm going to continue on. I want to read this passage again. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. I love that part at the end. I want to go through this piece by piece, but I just love that part in the end. He's saying, Everything you just heard, write it down, for it's trustworthy and true. I think there's something in us that when we read something like this, particularly with the state of the world, with the state of our own hearts, with the suffering that we see, with the great and deep pain that we encounter week after week, not only in the world, but in our own lives, in our own hearts, in the hearts of the people that we love, we say, this seems too good to be true. But this is our faith. This is the promise of our faith. And God knows we'll say, man, this is too good to be true. And so he says, write it down, for it's trustworthy and it's true that this is the truth. And what is that truth? Not only that God will come and dwell with us, he says, here's what the relationship between you and I will look like. And then because of that relationship, I am making everything new, that when I come fully and dwell with you, when I will come to you, I'm not just concerned about your own perfection. I'm not just concerned about you sinning, but I'm concerned about everything that affects you. I'm concerned about everything that causes you pain. I'm concerned about everything that stands between you and I. It is of great importance to me. And so every second of your life, I've seen your pain. I've seen your struggle. I've seen the evil in the world. I see the wars. I see the deaths that were never supposed to be. And I look at it all and everything from that tiny, tiny place of hurt where you're rejected by another person all the way to the wars and the famine and the Holocaust, everything, every ounce of pain. He looks at it and he says, it was never meant to be this way. And this is why Christian hope is so amazing, because God, he doesn't say, well, that was in my will. Okay, it was in my will and it's the consequences of your sin. No, he looks at the evil in the world that comes from the fall and he weeps with us and he says, it was never supposed to be this way. And in these places that are unspeakable, in the tragedies that are unspeakable and the things that were never meant to happen and the profound evils of the world and the evils in our own hearts, he says, this is where I will plant hope. From this, if the reality is it's not that bad and it's just going to get better, that's not the Christian message, is that things are just going to become better. The Christian message is that from the depths of pain, the depths of suffering, all the way into the depths of death itself, the greatest despair, God comes and he says, this is where I will dwell. And when I come to dwell with you, when I come to be with you forever and ever, I will wipe away every tear from your eye. You know what I love about that? Not only the image of God wiping away our tear, but the reality behind that, that he sees every tear. That he sees it, every tear that you cried, whether you were young and in middle school in your room feuding with your parents, or maybe it was over the boy that you were brokenhearted of, or a deep tragedy, a deep evil, a deep loss. Every single tear that you have shed, God sees. It's how close he is. It's how intimate he is. And friends, even now, this can allow us to live in a more secure place. There was a situation in which I was experiencing just a lot of relational pain and a lot of frustration. I was like needing, I found myself needing so deeply to be understood and to understand what was happening. And after a very difficult time in this, I was praying and the Lord said to me, I already understand. You don't need to be understood because I understand you. I understand you and you don't need to understand. And there was something in that reality of God just looking at me and he said, I see your tears. I see your pain. And I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Friends, that he's seen everything. And this removes at times, even in our own life now, not only that we are looking forward to a day when pain will be no more. Can you imagine?
This isn't some la 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 la. This is Christian hope. Can you imagine there's a day that the people we love won't hurt anymore? There's a day where there will be no evil in the world because it says, I'm coming to dwell with you. And the result of that is I'm going to take away all your pain like a good father. I will take away all of your pain. Every tear will be wiped from your eyes. Death will be no more. Death will be no more. He already has defeated it through the cross, but we will see when we're face to face with him that he will destroy death forever. He talks about this in Isaiah 25. It's one of the cross reference passages here. In Isaiah 25, he says, on this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. This is what he's saying here. The veil will be removed. We will see him perfectly as he is. And the final enemy, the thing that causes us the most pain, the final fear that we all have, the thing that is the most unknown, death. The thing that breaks our hearts, the thing that each of us, even if we say we're not afraid, that haunts us, that takes us captive, is a physical death. Jesus says, don't fear those who can kill the body, fear those who can kill the soul, because we are meant to live forever. And he's saying, I will swallow up death forever. Again, we can't even comprehend it in our minds. This is why we need to sit and allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate us and say, once again, we've said this over and over on this show, friends, this is not, Christianity is not a formula to get a good life. It's not a formula to get our vocation and to get money and to be successful and to look great on the outside and to be perfectly happy with worldly things. This is why the saints could live with nothing. This is why the circumstances of your life can never line up. This is why we can look poor. This is why Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain. Why? Because the only Son of God has been crucified. He's been buried in the ground. And when the catechism teaches us that in between, before the third day, when he rises again, he goes into hell and he deals with death. He deals with the thing that has captured Adam and kept him captive. And he slays death forever. And he rises on the third day and he appears to his apostles and he says, I have defeated death. The promise that came in Isaiah 25, I will swallow up death forever. What I promise on that mountain, I am doing now, says the Father, through my Son. This is a promise you can take to the bank. Let it strengthen you as you walk in your life. To live is Christ and to die is gain, because Jesus, through the power of his resurrection, has swallowed up death forever. Doesn't mean we don't mourn and we're not sad now, but Jesus says, I will wipe away every tear from their eye. And what will I do next? I won't just remove all of this pain, but behold, I make all things new. Hold on to that promise. Find comfort in it. Grip onto it so tightly. Behold, I make all things new. He's saying it to me. He's saying it to you. Ask the Spirit to allow you to believe it today. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.